Well, good morning again.
Morning.
Really glad that you're with us this morning. Summer. Man, it's flying by, isn't it? Yeah. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are really glad you're here. I'm glad for everybody to be here, but we're especially honored that if you are our guest this morning, that you have chosen to be with us. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe on the top that says guests, and we would invite you and would be honored if you would fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to do that. And at the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and have a free gift for our guests, and also would like to get to know you and for you to get to know me. We have a discovery class which I teach about every 2 months. Haven't met this summer. I'll meet again in September, which just talks about our church, and we get to know each other a little bit better. And so that dates will be coming for that in September. So really glad that you are here. I got to tell you, this morning, you know, Billy, Trevor and I were in the office. We got here early. Trevor, yeah, I'm calling. Where are you at, Trevor? He walked out for a second? Oh, man, he'll have to watch the recording on this. I really want to get him while he's here, but I guess I'll go without it. So Trevor and I are in the office this morning getting things prepared, and Billy walks in, and I said, Billy, how you feeling this morning? He said, oh, I'm feeling pretty good. Had kind of a rough night, didn't get a lot of sleep. And so being the sensitive, God-fearing nurturer that Trevor is, he said, why didn't you plug in one of Jeff's sermons? So now you know what kind of worship leader we have. He acts all spiritual and godly and stuff. I'm just saying. Because I am a Christian, I will ultimately forgive him for that. It may, I don't know when, but sometime. And he missed it. I called him out and he missed it. All right, turn with me, if you would, to Galatians. We're going to actually start the last verse of chapter 3. Verse 29 of chapter 3, but we'll read mostly in chapter 4. Beginning in verse 29, chapter 3. And we ended last week's sermon on this, but I felt like it kind of flowed us into today's message as well. If you belong to Christ, so I want to say that part again. We need to understand it. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And we talked last week about what that promise was. Verse 3 of chapter 4. Yeah, Trevor, come on in, buddy. I've already called you out, man. Somebody after church tells, yeah, yeah. Your secret is out, my friend. chapter 4, verse 3. So also, When we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And I'll add there, and daughters. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit. Now, I want to slow down. Because you are sons and daughters, is everybody, so there's a preface to this verse. Because you are sons, God sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts. So we have to be God's children to receive His Spirit. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Paul is not messing around. Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? And we're going to skip over to verse 15. What has happened to all your joy? Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, continuing the sermon series through Galatians, lessons from Galatians. Is anybody reading along with us at home? Anybody? A few of you? Good. Lessons from Galatians. And Paul, and I've talked about this for several weeks now, but Paul, this is kind of known as Paul's angry letter. He's shared the gospel with these folks, and they received it, and it transformed them. And then these Judaizers came in, and these were Jewish people who had professed Christ, and they began to try to get them to subject to the law and the traditions again. And Paul was not pleased. So this whole letter is he's talking about basically freedom that we have in Christ versus observing the law. And today's message is no longer a slave. Billy alluded to it earlier, no longer a slave. You know, as we, let's see if I can find it here without messing up y'all's list. The song we just sang, that's here somewhere. Well, I'm messing all of y'all's music up. I promise I'm not. Well, I'm just going to have to remember. There we go. Reuben, I didn't mess you up, man. I promise. So this song, No Longer Slaves, that we sang just a moment ago, there's so many things that that I like about that song. And he speaks of how God parted the Red Sea and how he, there was this, I was thinking as we sing that song and as I've thought about that song, God, the nation of Israel had been in bondage to the Egyptians. They were slaves, and they had been in bondage for 400 years, and they were waiting for this deliverer to come and deliver them. And I've shared this before, but how they were freed by the blood of the sacrificial lamb. We know that from Passover, and Jesus ultimately became our ultimate Passover lamb. So they're set free, and they leave Egypt, The king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, he says, just leave, just take everything, take the spoils of the city, just take it, just get out. You know, I can't deal with this anymore. And so they're leaving, and then he has a change of heart, and so he's coming to attack them, and they come upon the Red Sea. And just can't you just, man, wouldn't that have been cool to be there? Wouldn't that have been cool? And the scripture tells us that with the blast of his nostrils, God opened the sea. Nobody can do that. It's like, he's pretty big. He can do whatever he feels like doing. And I believe it with all my heart that he parted the Red Sea, and because that's what scripture tells us, and they walked across on dry land, and so it's this symbolic journey across this sea that God opened up, and it's like they're leaving this place of being slaves, and they're walking into freedom that comes with being a child of God. And we know that they struggled in the desert for a while and 40 years, and they, you know, sometimes I don't know why God doesn't just zap us all. You know, you ever wonder that? You read the Old Testament, and even the New Testament for that matter, but you read and God does all these awesome, incredible things, and the people, like, you know, they just keep turning back to idols and all kinds of stuff. But we kind of do that too, don't we, church? But there's this imagery of leaving behind slavery where you were not your own. You were basically in bondage, and you were told what to do, what to think, where to go, when to get up, when to lie down, all of it. And this walking through this sea that God has parted and walking into freedom in Christ. And so that's that imagery of what I think as we start dealing with this chapter in Galatians, that's the imagery I want you to kind of have there in the back of your mind. The first thing I want us to look at as we kind of walk through this, outside of Christ, we are a slave to sin and death. Now, again, outside of Christ, we're all lost. We can be a good person. You can be a moral person and so on and so forth, and you can still miss it. Outside of Christ, we have this inherent condition of sin, and we are a slave to it. In verse 3, it says, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Verse 8, you did not know God. You were slaves to those who by very nature are not gods. And so there's so many things that, and was ultimately sin and death is what enslaves us, but that can manifest itself in our lives in so many different ways. I see it all the time. I have people in my own life that I've dealt with some of these things as well. The enemy, let's just talk about some of the things that enslave us. Again, ultimately, it's sin and death. It's separation from God, but can be manifest in guilt and shame. And Billy prayed into that this morning. It's like, you know, that's one of the enemy's greatest weapons against us is to shame us into we have these two people that want us. That are in pursuit of us. One is the devil, the enemy, and one is Jesus Christ. And the devil wants to lie to us. He wants to guilt us. He entices us into sinful behavior, and then when we act on that, he shames us. Yes? Anybody ever experienced any of this? He entices. He's like, oh, come on, just go to that web page. It's not a big deal. Just go look just a little bit, or just have that little drink. You know you can't do that, but just one little drink. You can do that, or all sorts of things. And then he entices us, and when we act, he shames us and he puts guilt upon us. But Jesus, then we have Jesus over here. He wants to set us free. He wants us to have abundant life. He doesn't want us to be burdened with guilt and shame. And lust and all of the addictions, so there's some of the things, guilt and shame and lust and addiction, and that can be alcohol or pornography or drugs or all sorts of addictions. I saw this online a few weeks ago, and it had this picture of this young lady. I don't remember exactly what it was for. I think it was an anti-drug campaign or something. But it had this young lady, and she looked like she was maybe in her late 20s, early 30s, and very, very beautiful lady, and just a portrait of her when she was that age, and it showed her just a few years later after she'd been addicted to this meth or something like that, and it's like, man, it's like 5 years later, you would never know that was her, and it was just awful. It's like, man, just the when we are slaves to sin, it's like, man, it just destroys. It's not just drug addiction, but all of this stuff. It just destroys anger. And when we harbor anger and unforgiveness, the enemy wants us to toil in that because he knows that it eats us up from the inside out. When we're angry about stuff, it just eats us up, and he likes that. But no, Jesus wants to set us free. Jesus wants us to have abundant life. And when we have this stuff in us, it eats us up. And fear about the future, fear about what the doctor is going to say or not say, and we just fear about our kids, you know, wondering if our kids are going to be okay or our grandkids are going to be okay, and on, there's just these things that enslave us. The enemy enslaves us, but leads me to my second point. Through faith in Christ, we are set free. And we become his heir with full rights. And that we talked more about this last week, but what that means about being an heir of God, being God's heir. He has adopted us into his family, and we have full rights as sons and daughters, that we as his child. It's like, I know this is weird, but I don't know why this came to my mind. I watched an old movie this weekend. Anybody seen Mommy Dearest? I know. I should have turned it off because it's really depressing, but it's mesmerizing, you know. It's like how this mom treated her daughter, if her memoir was true. But I'm like, man, she adopted this daughter into her family, and then she just, it was awful, the things she did to her. And it's like, no, man, God adopts us into his family, and he treats us as his true heir with full rights. It's like, you got the run of the place. This, I love you, and you have full rights as sons and daughters. In scripture that were the scripture we looked at today, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that's important, to redeem those under the law. Who's he talking about? Us. That we might receive full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. And I talked about this morning with the children, but because we belong to him, we have God living inside of us through his spirit. We received his spirit. You're no longer a slave, scripture tells us, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. In Romans, again, Paul writes, you have been set free from sin. So this person in the devil, he wants to enslave us, and he wants to bind us up in all of this stuff. And no, but through Christ, we've been set free, and we, and Billy talked about it, we have become slaves to righteousness. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now, if you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. God wants us to have abundant, eternal life. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. He wants to bind, keep us bound up. Through faith in Christ, we are set free. Is this good news to anybody but me? I mean, through faith in Christ, we're set free. We don't have to be bound up in that stuff anymore. It's difficult. If it's difficult, and this leads me to my final point. So, if we are a child of God, if we are truly set free, where's our joy? Hello. Is this on, Robert? Can you hear me out there, everybody? If we are a child of God, where's our joy? Cheryl, actually, this I had not really looked that closely at verse 15 but of this passage, but I want to read this and set it up, and leads down to verse 15. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts because we are sons. You're no longer a slave, but a son, and you've also an heir. And then down in verse 15, what's happened to all your joy? I mean, Paul's talking to this church, and he's saying, you received the gospel. It sets you free. And the gospel is that Jesus is God, that Jesus died for our sins, and that Jesus rose from the dead, and then he sent his spirit. So that's the basic gospel. And he's saying to this church, he's saying, you received that, and now you're getting all bound up in the law. It's like you've thrown the chains off, and you're walking in freedom, and now you're letting these people heap these chains back on you. And not just observing the law, but they were bound up in the traditions. It's like, oh, well, you know, to really be a godly person, you have to do this on this day, and you have to, you know, recognize these different traditions and all these laws. I mean, he was binding them up. It's like, no, Jesus has set us free from the law. And the result was, It was robbing them of their joy. When the chains came off, when you cast the chains off and you receive this gospel of Jesus Christ, you were free. Now you're letting others help you put them back on, and it's robbed you of your joy. How about us, church? Yeah. What's our fruit look like? Uh-oh. Is that us? Is that what the world sees coming out of us? I mean, man, when we profess Christ, people are watching. Are we looking more like this? You know, we talked about it with the children earlier. The fruit of the Spirit is Paul is saying that because you're a son of God, because you're a child of God, you now have received the Spirit of God in you, and you are free. And so he says next week we'll look at chapter 5, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but he says the fruit of the Spirit, what when the Spirit lives inside of us, the fruit that needs to be coming out is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, it's like that, and that doesn't mean we never have a bad day, but it's like generally speaking, we should have the fruit of the Spirit should be oozing out of us, church. So what does our church look like? Are we this black, mushy? I don't even like touching it. It's nasty. Are we a ripe, pristine fruit? So I guess the next question is, if we want to be like that, how do we do that? Well, first of all, to remember the true gospel. Who Jesus is and what he's done for you, and you are as you've walked through the parted sea into freedom. He loves you. You remember who you are. As we're talking about fruit, and I've used this with the children, this passage in John 15 came to my mind. I am the vine, Jesus says. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And I've told this story before, but every time I read that scripture, I think about it. My mom and dad lived in this house, and they had this kind of weird support line from a telephone pole that came down and attached right in the middle of their backyard, and it was kind of ugly, but it was necessary to hold this pole up. And so my mom thought, well, I'm going to plant a little vine down at the base of this and let it grow up that thing so it'll look pretty. Girls do that stuff. And my uncle, you remember this, Mom? Uncle Carol. He comes to the house, and I don't remember if Dad was laid up and couldn't do it or whatever, but he's going to mow the yard and trim up the yard for him and everything. And he goes out there, and he's mowing, and he's trimming, and he severs that little vine. Mom, you didn't kill him, did you? Okay, she just wanted to. But without being attached to the vine, the rest of it died. It wasn't long before the rest of it was just looked a little more like this. So if we want to bear good fruit, we have to remain attached to the vine. Jesus is saying, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. We've been set free. And I encourage us, church, how do we remain connected to the vine? Man, I know sometimes, even for me, even though I'm paid to be good and y'all are good for nothing. Hadn't used that one in a while, so I'll throw that one out there. Yeah. No, I'm a professional Christian, but even if you're in ministry, even if you're in paid ministry, it's easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get distracted with stuff and details and so on and so forth and forget the source of it all. You know, I tell people, I've never changed a heart. I've never been someone that was able to change a heart. Only God changes a heart. We've got to stay connected to the vine, even for each one of us. And that's, man, for me, one of the greatest things for me is music. I like to YouTube, and I run across different ones. If there's one of your worship songs that you like, just get on YouTube and just say, type that song in, and just kind of, sometimes you'll like hear the story. I actually YouTubed the story behind No Longer Slaves. It's an awesome, if you want to do that, if that song ministered to your heart today, just YouTube the story behind No Longer Slaves, and you hear the people that wrote that song and what inspired them to write it, and then you get in listening to those songs. So music, man, be in the Word. Don't rely on me to tell you what God's Word says. You know, back in the earlier centuries, the common folks didn't have the Bible, and they relied on the priests and the church to tell them, and that's when corruption started seeping into the church, because the church, if they're the source of knowledge of God's Word, I can say anything I want to. It's like, hey, if you don't do this, you know, you're probably going to be in hell, or you got to give so much to the church, or your Uncle Allen that you know he's going to be in hell. If you pay enough money, we'll pray old Uncle Allen into heaven. I mean, those sort of things were happening when we didn't have the Word, but now the Word isn't. We how many of you have a Bible at the house? Probably every one of us do. And if you don't, please come see me. I'll get you one. But we have God's Word. I don't know how many. We probably have dozens at our home that we've different things and over the years. But man, what a precious gift. Get in the Word. Read the Word. What does God have to say? I know this sounds like it's self-serving, but it's really not, even if it's not this church. Go to church. And don't just go to church. Engage. We had seven this morning that joined our church. That's not just something so we can check off a roll. I mean, it's like, no, that what they were saying to us is, we want to be engaged. We're in. We're all in. And what I think we say back to them is, so are we with you. We're all in. In your bulletin this morning, you saw a thank you from the Silvestris, where they, tornado, they get up one morning and brushing their teeth to get ready to go to work, and a tornado blows their house away, takes the roof, and just, it's gone. Many in this church came forward and said, I've started getting flooded with calls. Billy did. What can we do? How can we help? I put out an email this week about a family. Many of you responded to that. A family that four teenage kids are sleeping on the floor. That we don't have any association with them at all. We just found out about them. I put out an email, hey, we'd like to get these kids off the floor, get them a bed. I got flooded with emails and texts, and still am. So that need has been met many times over. There'll be more coming. You know, when we're part of the, what a privilege it is to be part of the body of Christ. No longer slaves. We're free. We're free to worship, and we're free to serve Him. We're free to love on one another, and we don't have to be bound up in all of this legalism and stuff. Now there's freedom in Christ. What a joy that is. So church, I'll leave you with this. Are we this? Is this what our fruit looks like, or are we this? Let's bow our heads. Father, you are so good that you have called us your very own. You have adopted us. You've brought us into your family. You've given us full rights of a child. And you have poured out your Spirit in us. We thank you that we are no longer slaves, but we are free in Christ. and we are free indeed. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for this fellowship of believers that, Father, that love you. But even more important than that, you love us. And we are now slaves to righteousness. You have set us free. We have walked into abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen.